Friday, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rob. This is episode number 289 of Shut Up and Grind. And I'm pressed for time today, so we're just going to dive right in. We're talking about how to stay focused when life is a train wreck. So I had to take a seven-month absence from the show because my life was a train wreck. But we're not going to be talking about me today. It's about my guests. And both of these guests have been here before. They're more than guests. They're friends. And we're going to have a great conversation about this topic. So help me welcome Dawn coming back and Nick. How we doing?
Hey, Robert. Thanks for having us.
Always.
Just happy to be here.
Scope on. So, A, I want to say I'm envious because, as you see, I usually wear a tank top. But where I am, it's cold. And I know, Dawn, you're in Southern California, and Nick, you're in Florida. So I'm a little jealous.
Yeah,
right now.
You know what, though?
It's a little chilly. 12
degrees in my house.
12?
Oh. It's cold in my house.
How does that happen
like
in Florida?
It's 75 outside. It's beautiful. But like, we have a couple days of winter.
Yeah, a couple of days. What's your winter, 60? My sister says hello, and my cousin says hello.
Nice.
Go ahead, Nick.
We get some weather in the 40s, and it'll even dip into the 30s a couple days. But it's not like a season. It's like 6 or 7 days scattered amongst the first couple months of the year.
Gotcha. Dawn, how's life treating you out there in Cali?
It's good. It's 44 degrees. It's a little cold for my personal preference, but
it's warmer than that here.
Okay, so I can complain a little bit.
Yeah, I think we're going to top out at like 55 today, I want to say. But all right, so let's dive into the topic at hand. You know, we got a handful of listeners on. So Dawn, when you hear life is a train wreck, what does that mean to you?
Where everything's crashing around you, nothing's working out. I have, over the last few years, I've been really conscious about thinking that everything is happening for my highest and greatest good, no matter what it is. So I really have changed the way I think about train wrecks in my life.
Okay. And Nick?
Man, Dawn stole mine, because what I was going to say is if I hear life is a train wreck, I'm hearing somebody with a victim mindset who's just complaining and lost in the negativity, because when isn't it a train wreck? And why is that a problem? It's just life. Shit happens. Get a helmet.
Okay, Candace.
I'm past the point where I would expect it to be otherwise.
All right. So how did you get to that point though?
This was a journey, and this was obviously, you know, part of just the constant series of events, everything that I went through, from, you know, getting cancer 4 times, being a diabetic, my multiple car accidents and injuries, basically like the 17 times that I've almost died. And then, you know, the first turning point is a recovery from alcoholism, but I hadn't learned anything yet though. I was just kind of stripping away all the bad behaviors. It was when I became an obstacle course racer that I started living a different lifestyle. And it was really through the process of writing my book, though, not writing the book, revising the book. Because the first copy, the first version is what you want everybody to hear. That's the movie version. But once you revise it, you start stripping away this bullshit more and more. You really start to see yourself in a different perspective. You kind of start to see the truth about things. And I realized I had been a victim for so long, and I decided not to. And there just came a point where I realized I am meant to take a beating. This stuff isn't going to stop. Like, life is hard when you want it to be easy. When you just expect that there's always going to be a next level, I'm expecting a train wreck. That's it. I'm traveling. There's going to be accidents along the road. So acceptance of the fact that shit happens and it's going to keep happening is the key to, well, everything.
Yeah, so I definitely don't disagree with anything that you said there before I let Dawn chime in. But what I will say is sometimes it takes people longer to realize that they have to take control, you know, and sometimes definitely it starts with yourself, but it's also, it could be the circle that you're surrounded with. You know, people who are surrounded by negativity tend to be more negative people. You know, people who are around positivity can tend to rebound a lot faster. You know, so I think we got to take each situation and look at it for what it is and then help that person from where they are.
Let me just say this though, real quick.
Go ahead.
I want to redirect the words that you said that negative people tend to go be around other negative people.
Yeah.
I say it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. You attract your circle. When you're negative, you attract the negative people. When you're positive, you attract the positive people. You are your circle. They are not the influence. They are the validation.
I agree with that.
And so I think again,
Ooh, don't like that one.
it just goes back to mindset. And by the way, not for nothing, I'm not a quick study here, man. I told you all the stuff I had to go through.
Yeah.
And then I had to get into obstacle course racing. I had to discover a better life. And then I had to have my car accident and all that other shit happen and see it being taken away. And that's when I had to make a decision.
Yeah. See, and I'm glad you expanded on that, because some of the comments after you said that, they were like, hey, wow, you know, and but they don't know your full backstory, which I do, you know, so so I understand why you're saying that and all the things.
It took me 40 years to get there.
Exactly. Go ahead, Dawn, weigh in.
Well, I was going to say gratitude is really my life preserver, my everything that gets me through. I mean, the work that I do in Africa, I've always been grateful. I've always understood how very blessed I am. But spending time in places where, you know, people are sleeping on floors and they don't have access to clean water, it really makes me like so I feel so blessed for everything I have, even when, you know, stuff is happening around me that's not to my preference. You know, I'm always like, but look what I do have. So gratitude gets me through all of those things.
Love it. One thing that one of my mentors always says is everything is your fault. He's like, once you just take accountability, stop pointing fingers, that's when you're ready to take action. And I always understood that, but never fully until last year happened. It was literally a year ago last year where I didn't know where I was going to live. And it's like, I got hit squarely in the face with a frying pan. And I did do that pity party for about maybe 3 weeks. And then I just looked myself in the mirror. I was like, you know what? You're better than this. I was like, you know better than this. And then from there, I just started picking up the pieces and everything just fell into place beautifully. I landed in a great gym, got access to another gym right next to it. I started coaching again. And then from there, I fell into a team that has a lot of talent, and the coach abruptly quit. Like, everything just fell into place. And now I'm right back into podcasting. So when you keep your eye on the prize, you're going to land exactly where you're supposed to be. Let's start with Dawn. What are your thoughts on that?
I think you're right. I mean, I think that we have to feel, you know, the stress and the emotions that go along with, you know, things happening, but then don't sit in it. You know, move beyond it. And, you know, as you said, keep your eye on the prize and keep going. Because what other choice do we have?
Absolutely. Nick, go ahead.
I love what Dawn said just now, because embracing the suck doesn't mean ignoring it. Right. And that's, you know, that's the other thing. When shit is going haywire and out of control and things are becoming a train wreck, it's okay to admit it. Mm-hmm. It's okay to be like, wow, this sucks. Because pretending that it doesn't is exhausting, and it's just in a distraction. So, but the eye on the prize, that is why I'm able to be as just determined about this mindset as I am, because I also now know my purpose, and it is driving through all of that. So when things are literally blowing up around me, it helps me to prioritize on what's the most important thing that has to happen right now. And I always take it back to that center, you know, that what is the number one priority I have to do right now. And I say to myself, right here, like I tell myself that all the time, I'm right here right now. So when I'm doing my workout and stressing out about the 15 things that are going wrong, no, I'm right here right now. Made a choice to be somewhere. I'm going to focus on being there right now. I mean, the distractions are everywhere, especially when you're an entrepreneur too, and you have so much autonomy in your day. You hear 15 different good ideas in the middle of the train wreck, it's so easy to want to go off in different directions. But just to maintain that mental stamina throughout the course of the day, I literally put up the blinders when I need to.
Yes, Dawn.
Yeah, and I always ask myself, like, what is this trying to teach me? What lesson is coming from this situation, whatever it is? Because I look back at anything that's happened in my life that at the time was not, you know, going well, and I'm like, I learned something from it. there was a growth experience there. So everything is teaching me something. So I literally will repeat the mantra. What is this trying to teach me? What is this trying to teach me? You know, to get out of the mindset of like, oh my God, this sucks.
See, and that's in everything that we do. We can adopt that mindset. Like if you're managing a restaurant and your power goes out, you know, like how you respond to that is what matters. When I'm here in the gym and I put like today, I put together a pretty brutal circuit, but it's like all these people have goals. You know, it's like you have people, yes, the circuit is hard, but you're gonna get through this and you're gonna be better and stronger for it at the end of it. I gave one of my mistakes with my track team was I gave probably one of the best speeches I have ever given. If I can pat myself on the back for a second, but I should have recorded it. But it was just off the cuff. You know, they were just kind of in their heads. And I just unleashed this passionate, like Ray Lewis, Eric Thomas style speech to them. And it really got through to them. But at the heart of it, it was, you have to grind every day. It's like, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about 5 years from now. Worry about today. When you wake up tomorrow, worry about tomorrow. And if you repeat that over an extended period of time, you're going to like where you are. You know, it's like I went from not having a car to riding my bike everywhere in the rain, in the cold, in the blazing sun, you know, in the wind at night with no light on my bike. Like I easily could have made all the excuses in the world to just give up. And there are people who would have validated my decision. Again, that's my issue when people talk about validation, because I didn't need that at that moment. I needed the encouragement to keep going and do what you have to do. Yes, pouring rain, and I'm riding my bike to get my prescriptions in a pouring rain. You know, because it's at that moment, at that day, that's what was required. And then so I built myself up to where I was able to start taking my mom's car for a couple of days. And then I came up here to the gym and started here with what I had. I couldn't fully be up here full time, but I started with 3 days. Then I was able to buy a car, so on and so forth, you know. So the whole point of that is I didn't worry about the end game, like where am I going to be? Am I going to buy another house? I said, I need to get through today. And how can I get through today the best way that I possibly can? Nick?
I love how you break that down to the specifics, because, I mean, not for nothing, when you're an entrepreneur, like the very definition of what you do is train wreck. Like, everything is unforeseen. Nothing is planned out. You're making it up as you go along most of the time. And I'm not the only one dancing on a razor thin wire right now. I know that. So when I've set my goals for the year, I had to get really meticulous. I had to reverse engineer like exactly how much I thought I could make with each type of service, you know, speaking engagements, like virtual this, like how much I might generate on the book, just to the penny, right? And then I had to break that down throughout the course of the year. It's not like I'm going to make $1 million in February. So as it does that, it helps me to live in the day, because I don't have to make XXXXX whatever amount of money today. As a matter of fact, today I don't have to make any money. You know what I need to do today? I need to be on a podcast. Check. What's the next thing I have to do? As long as you have a plan, that's why, you know, I'm not a planning and all this meticulousness does not come naturally to me. It's something I've actually had to work on for years. And what I finally realized is that as I create a habit from it, it no longer takes energy from me and instead it frees me up. But it also, my head case that I am, I don't have to deviate 17 places throughout the day. I have my right here, right in front of me. You know, that doesn't mean that you don't remain fluid and adaptable, but the building blocks are what will get you there. And not for nothing, I'm as a recovering alcoholic, I get a lot of practice at one day at a time living. And that's not just a bumper sticker, man. That is a true recipe for happy living, because I can't control anything else other than what I'm doing at this exact moment.
Love it, Dawn.
Yeah, I love everything you said, Nick. I think, you know, one of the things that I've been really conscious of the last few years is surrender. Like surrender and allow the universe to do what it does. And also believing that everything is happening for my highest and greatest good. So whatever happens is meant to happen. So I used to like stress out, oh, well, what if this happens or this doesn't happen or this works out this way? And I'm like, you know what? Let it be, let it go. And it's going to be perfect exactly as it is. And that has really freed up so much headspace, you know, to actually enjoy and appreciate. And things do work out for the best at the end of the day. So I caused myself so much extra grief by stressing out about things that I had no control over, you know. So control what you can, like Nick said, but then leave the rest to God.
I want you to expand on that a little, because I talk a lot, especially with the younger group, about how you said that you keep yourself in that grief. You know, just describe that in a little deeper detail.
Well, it's really mindset, right? It's how you think about things that are happening. So yes, you know, I lost my dogs last year, and was I very, very sad? I was very, very sad. I love those dogs so much, but you know what? That is part of the natural order of life. And then if I didn't lose Whitney and Lola, I wouldn't have Toby, you know? So I always think that like there is a purpose for everything. And I do believe that we have a life beyond this physical existence. So I know I'm going to see them again. And I know our love still exists. And so things like that, like helps me like, again, move through the grief, move to a place of acceptance and again, surrender.
Good, Nick.
I can't follow that up. You know, she started, I mean, God, I'm like, I don't think I'm 1 minute past having lost Cooper over 2 years ago. And then of course I'm so grateful that we have Wolfie and then you're like, and I know we have our love, and I'm like, okay. Yeah. Grief is a tough one. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that I'm tough on, but I mean, break my bone before you break my heart.
Thanks.
And the only, honestly, you know, with dogs, the one, I mean, it was very hard to even get another dog. We have another one. And honestly, I didn't do it for me. I did it for him, because it was when I had COVID, and I was like, oh, he's probably gonna be psyched that I'm like, you know, home with him. And he was just so bummed, you know, he hadn't had his buddy in 2 months, and I'm like, all right, we got to get another dog. And the other thing was this, it doesn't have to be for you. Give them a good home, you know, like, that's it. Do it for them. And like, would your dog not want you to get, you know, to do that for another dog? I'm like, I guess it did help me to deal with grief. And I would think that living, you know, for someone else or living in their memory or trying to carry on their memory, just these are ways that, I don't know, maybe it's how I process. But
well, no, that's fine, because everybody processes differently. Like there are people who can very quickly move on with things, and there are people where it hits them like a ton of bricks. You know, like there's no right or wrong way to grieve. So, and again, I go back to, I know I've shared it on this show before. Like when my father passed, it's like I dealt with it one way, my brother dealt with it one way, my nephew dealt with it a different way. Three of us. All of us watched the same event where we had to end care. We all watched them pass at the exact same time. But like I had mentally prepared for it maybe 2 or 3 months sooner, where everyone else was kind of holding out hope. Now, obviously not saying I didn't hold out hope, but I knew it was a big chance he wasn't going to come back from it. And so I just started mentally preparing in my mind, all right, I got to get ready for life without him. Without hearing his voice. So I spent 3 months getting ready, whereas like they held on to the very end. And again, neither way is right. Neither way is wrong. Everyone does it in their own way. So the problem where I think a lot of people get stuck is because other people try to force their way on other people, which makes their grief even worse. You know, what are your thoughts on that, Dawn?
Well, we've talked about this on a podcast before. When I lost my dad in 2000, I think I was 31, and he died suddenly. It was a heart attack. And so he was there one day, gone the next. And I just remember thinking as I was packing for his funeral, I was like, and I was crying because I'm like, what do you wear to your dad's funeral? Like, I've never lost somebody that close to me before. And I just stopped and I was like, you know what? You should be grateful that you had a dad. You know, some people don't. Be grateful that you had a wonderful dad and that your dad loved you. And, you know, all the things that I had to be grateful for, I focused on those things. Didn't mean I wasn't sad anymore and didn't mean I didn't cry, but I was also able to see like what a blessing I had by having him in my life at all.
Absolutely. Nick?
What was I going to say? I had a train of thought. I swear to God, I read the comment. Oh, grieving differently. Yes. You know what? I agree that I don't think there's a right or wrong way, but I will say that I believe there's a healthy and an unhealthy way. And I'm not the person who can tell you what it is. It's probably up to the individual, but I know this firsthand is that for a very long time, I did the unhealthy way, which was primarily to ignore it or to, you know, act out in some other capacity. When my mom died, that was the first time somebody I was close to who died when I was sober. And so that was extraordinarily hard to process. And we already had a very challenging relationship, you know? So for me, it's been like a very new experience. And so I wasn't even processing it in a very healthy way then too, because I was still trying to just pretend that I wasn't that like upset little kid, you know? So for me, it was unhealthy because it's taken me a very long time. I'm only now at a place where I've begun to kind of talk about it, you know? And so it's unhealthy to carry the bad feelings around with you for so long. You know, if you're going to be kind of have a sad or an emptiness or missing that person, well, I don't know. I'm never going to stop missing my dog. So I don't think that ends, but you know, there just has to be a point where we're able to move forward.
Yeah. Well, the thing with grief is not something that goes away. You know, that's something that you manage. Like there were most days, you know, I can get through, and like I'll think about my dad for a hot second and it's okay. And then there's other days where I get teary eyed, I get emotional and I miss him a lot more. It happens, you know, it just happens. Like that's part of it. And I think some of it too is people are afraid that being vulnerable is weak and it's not. And I know I just shared this on last week's podcast and probably about 60 other episodes, but it's an important, it's an important thing for people to hear that being vulnerable is the ultimate strength. Like when you can get in front of people, especially your peers, and let them see that side of you, that's strength, you know, to sit there and go into that dark space and share it with other people. And on the other side of that is it empowers them to do the same. Like when you start sharing your stories, people will start sharing their stories, and then they'll realize we all have a lot more in common than people realize, you know. So Dawn, I want you to talk to someone who may be listening right now, who they're in the midst of that train wreck, and give them your best steps. Like, I'm not going to give you a number, but just your best steps to help people move forward.
Well, you know, feel it, feel your feelings, because you can't ignore them, because they will just get suppressed and they'll sit there in your body. So feel your feelings, find the gratitude in whatever it is that you can be grateful for, because there's always something you can be grateful for. I mean, if you're still here, that in and of itself is enough to be, you know, something to be grateful for. And then find your people, find your support, find your community, find the people that you can be vulnerable with and that will understand you and, you know, get you through it. And just remember, this too shall pass, whatever it is. So those are my steps.
Okay, thank you. Nick, same question.
First and foremost, what we talked about earlier, acceptance. We have to accept the situation for what it is and take responsibility for it. That doesn't mean accept blame. That doesn't mean accept fault, but you are responsible if you want to get out of it for all things in it. Number two, eyes on the prize. What is the purpose? What is the goal? What is the higher purpose that is going to get you through this mess? Then priorities and discipline. What are the goals? What are the objectives? What are the things that we're trying to achieve? And plan it out. Just prioritize things. We can't be all things to all people. We can't be dealing with all the train wreck at once. We have to do some triage and stay disciplined to what's right in front of you. Remain adaptable. This is when, you know, we're not trying to predict the future. We're just trying to plan our next couple of moves. And then my last one kind of follows around with what Don said, which is, you know, you have to have self-belief, and that comes from gratitude. You know, you are your tribe. You are your people. Surround yourself with the people that you want to be. It's a self-renewing energy that can carry you through many crises. And not only, you know, will it pass, but the way that you know that it will is because it always has. If you look back at every other train wreck you have, there is no evidence to the contrary that you will not make it through.
Exactly. See, and one thing with the three of us and many, many other people that I've interviewed, that I've coached, mentored, whatever word you want to use, we all live it. We all live it. Like, this isn't stuff that we just learned somewhere and we're trying to reteach it to other people. Like, I told you, I'm coming out of my train wreck. When I interviewed Nick last, he was in the midst of a train wreck. You know,
oh, we're still there.
You know, but like, you know, no, I'm not going to talk about what we shared off the camera, but like once we stopped taping, like, you know, he went deep into what he was going through. And here he is now. He easily could have just reverted back to his old ways. But we said on that call that he wanted to get into podcasting. He wanted to get into speaking. And, you know, we spoke about how he could make that happen. We didn't sit there and talk about all of his struggles. You know, he cued me in as to what was going on. And then we immediately started putting a plan to get him more visibility. I connected him with a few people. You know, he reached out. He got on their shows. He's doing this thing. It's like action. Action takes care of anxiety, stress, depression, and all that other stuff. Action does. When you're hurting inside, find people that need to hear your story and share that story. And in that process, you're going to end up healing and feeling better about yourself as you're helping other people feel better about themselves. Sorry, I got into my speaker box there.
Damn it.
But, you know, but Dawn, same thing. Just what are your thoughts on that?
Exactly what. Yo, it was like
it's lagging.
I'm sorry. Okay, you have to back up. What are my thoughts on what? Because you covered a lot there.
Just on how taking action can cure all of that.
Oh yeah, and I also love what you said about like sharing your story and helping somebody else go through what you've went through or what you're going through. I think being of service is always helpful and healing to our hearts and our souls. So I definitely think that, again, sharing our personal struggles and how we've gotten through those things, that helps us process it. And then it's like a blueprint for somebody else that like, you got through it, I can get through it too. So I think that is super helpful.
Yes, one of my athletes last night, she's a freshman, but she's fast. Like she's been hanging with the varsity kids all season. So we had the JV States, and she didn't run a bad race, but it wasn't her best race. And she ended up not making it into the final. And I tell you, she was like sob crying. Like she was so distraught. And so when I first saw her, just going back to the whole timing thing, I knew right now is not the time to talk to her. Right. So I just let her do her thing. Going back to Dawn's point, let people feel what they need to feel. And so I just gave her time. About maybe 20, 25 minutes had gone by, and I started with some comedy. Because usually before all of them race, I give them a high five. But I was watching something else when they went over for their race, so I didn't give her high five. And so I go up, I put my hand on her shoulder. I said, you know what happened today? She just looks up at me, still got the teary eyes. She's like, what? I said, I didn't give you a high five before the race, right? And she just smiled, right? Like just that split second of lightheartedness, you know, and she chugged it and it helped pull her out of there. And then she ended up having a good rest of the night. You know, so the point is sometimes when people are going through it, they don't always need the long drawn out conversation. Sometimes just simply put a smile on their face. Nick?
What you said earlier for me was action. I mean, I love it. Besides the fact that, yeah, I was ready for a good halftime speech right there, but it's 100% true. You can plan. There's a fine line between planning and being paralyzed, you know, but you have to put a plan together and then you have to act, move a muscle, change a thought, no matter what the situation. It's like getting the blood flow is not just a metaphor. Like when you physically get up, walk 5 feet forward, and all of a sudden you see the world 5 feet differently. It's just a different perspective. Find out what doesn't work.
Yes.
Like that's when I'm writing and I want to write in my book. Sometimes I've sat there for hours. I have put hundreds of thousands of words on paper just to go, nope, and delete it all. Okay. Like that's part of the process. I spent a month, you know, since we even last talked, I probably spent a month, or at least that month, doing the wrong activity for a while. And it was, okay, there's still a value from it. I still made connections. You know, I still did things. Like, so taking action is always going to be just better. And plus when you're moving, you begin to not let the idle thoughts. Negativity is something that brews when waters are still. So action.
Action. Love it. Dawn?
you know, I think I love what Nick said, perspective. Everything is about perspective. I mean, we just did a podcast on Sunday, and one of my guests, she's a senior in high school, and you know, they just did the college applications, and there's all that stress, you know, going on with, you know, am I going to get into my top choice school and all that. But her perspective is like, she knows that whatever school she gets into is going to be for her highest and greatest good. So she's not dwelling on like, you can say that in like a relationship. If a relationship doesn't work, or you don't get the job that you want, and you think at the moment, oh my God, this is so devastating. But then if you say, no, maybe this is God's protection, or this is redirection, or this is saving me from something else. Like, for example, like you're late for work and you're frazzled and you're, you know, maybe you were supposed to be late for work, and maybe that you avoided an accident or something like that. So there's always a different way to look at whatever's happening in your life. So I always take that route in my thoughts, you know, maybe this was protecting me from something that wasn't meant for me.
Love it, Nick.
Redirection is, I love that, because we get hung up because we think we know best. Because we think we know what is best for us. If I had gotten what was best for me, well, I don't know what would happen. Would I have been an FBI agent? Would I be a lawyer? Where would my drinking have taken me in that course? Would I be in Florida? Probably not. All I know is I wouldn't be where I am, right? If I had gotten my way so many times over, my life would suck compared to what it is now. I'd be with the wrong girl in the wrong job at the wrong place, living the wrong life. And you know, I'm not a religious person, but I am spiritual. I have a relationship with a higher power, and I believe my higher power knows better for me. And so I have to remind myself of that time and time again. And I do ask for faith. It's a daily exercise. I wasn't born with that, but kind of like, if you look back on your past and you know you'll make it through because you have, if I look back on my past and I see when I was in charge, my life was not as good as when I have just, I'm responsible for the effort, not the outcome.
Bingo. Bingo. So when I had my documentary filled with Shay Brown, and again, this was a year ago, last year, so I was in the midst of my fire, almost to the point to where I wasn't going to go and film it, because I like how can I go and talk about motivational stuff when I don't even know where I'm going to live when I get back? Right? It's like, how can I go and do this? And I said, but at the same token, you know, my show is called Shut Up and Grind. Like, that means no matter what you have going on in your life, you got to show up. So I went down there, and one of the questions that he asked me, he's like, if you could have a conversation with your 21-year-old self, what would you say? And I'm not going to give my answer here because I want you to watch the documentary, right? But the answer that I gave, all of the producers were looking at each other like, wow. Because along the lines of what Nick just said, I mean, there are things that have had, like, I've missed opportunities because I was with the wrong person. You know, like my knee injury. Without my knee injury, we wouldn't be here talking. Because how I bounced back from that knee injury is when Shut Up and Exercise turned to Shut Up and Grind. Because of that diagnosis and the doctor telling me I would never want to jump again, those years to get myself back to full strength again, that's the grind. That's what it is. And it doesn't matter what people are trying to do, whether you're trying to start a business, whether you want to start a family, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. There's steps that you have to take every single day to get yourself where you want to be. So if that injury never happens, none of this happens. Like the last, when that happened, 2009. So the last, how many years is that? 15 years? Would have looked completely different if that injury never happened, you know? So it's like, I don't regret anything that has gone on. And you have to learn from the things. So one of you said it earlier, like you have things that work and things that don't work. And so you have to figure out what doesn't work and don't repeat it, you know? And then you use that experience to help educate other people and inspire other people to not make those same mistakes. But so for this last section, I want you both to talk about boundaries, right? Because when you're talking about navigating, whether it's grief, whether it's depression, stress, or whatever, setting boundaries is huge, right? I usually start with Dawn. I'm going to start with Nick on this one. That way you don't have to follow her this time, okay?
Right. Darn, so, this time I needed her to lead me into it, though.
Can't win with this guy.
I'll tell you what, it's, you call it boundaries, I call it priorities. You can't be all things to all people. And so, you know, I talk a lot about goal setting. I don't set artificial goals. I don't set superficial goals. I only set 5 goals a year, and they are my guiding compass, right? Number one is my sobriety. Yeah. One day at a time. Without number one, there is no number two. So my meetings come first. My work come first. You know, like, that's it. I don't care who I piss off. I don't care if it costs me business. I don't care. I don't care. And that's the boundary. That has to come number one, because without number one, there is no number two. You know, number two is my health, managing my diabetes. That means I have to. I think especially in this hustle culture, people think that they feel bad about putting their health first. If you're not at your best, you can't be your best. You can't be at your best. And if there is no number two, there is no number three. So I have to focus on that. And again, that becomes before family obligation, before financial obligation. If you're not healthy, you can't do anything else. You know, the third thing then does come my work and financial obligation, because we have bills to pay and we have obligations and we have things like that. And so just in the same thing, in the context of a work day, you can't be everywhere. So I have to set priorities. I have to set my big rocks. I have to set the, and a lot of this isn't boundaries. The reason I would say priorities over boundaries is because I'm not trying to stop you. I'm trying to stop me. I'm the one who wants to go over the line. I'm the one who wants to go do this and whatever. People aren't trying to interrupt my space, you know, all the time. It's, I want them in. I want to get that distraction. So it just becomes a matter of like prioritizing the best use of my time and trusting the process that you've created for yourself. And that's very hard to do because, again, you want to just go off into these distractions. You know, I'll just finish that out with like the most important goal of the year, of course, is number four, which is to finish the damn Killington Ultra. But really, you know what that means to me in so many different ways. And so it is a priority. It is a boundary. That means, and that's, I have to remind myself, training for that means, again, my health has to come before other things, right? That means before social stuff. Like, I have to keep all the things that contribute to that goal is important and have a boundary of what gets to interfere with it and not be afraid to communicate that to others. And if you're worried about what other people are thinking about it, then you don't really believe your own priorities.
Love it. Dawn?
Ugh, boundaries. That one I'm still working on. But somebody had told me in one of my coaching classes that it's standards, you know, instead of calling them boundaries, call them standards. Set standards for yourself. And so I've been consciously working on setting standards for myself and, you know, making myself a priority and not saying yes to everything when I don't want to say yes, you know. And that, again, it's mindfulness and catching myself when I'm like, you don't want to do this, so why are you saying yes? So again, that's an ongoing challenge for me, but I'm trying to master it.
One of the shortest videos I ever made, it was probably 8 seconds. I said, I'm going to change your life with one word. No. I said, learn the word no and your life will change. End the video. That was it. And it's true, because you said it yourself. If you don't want to do something, why are you going to do it? Right? You're going to do it out of fear of upsetting someone else. So you're going to sacrifice your personal happiness for somebody else. You know, like, if you're caring for someone else, that's different. But if it's just like, hey, we're gonna go someplace and do something, and if you don't wanna go, I have no problems whatsoever saying no, none. You know, like when we went down to Jacksonville to do the Spartan race down there, after the race, come to find out I ended up having COVID, but I wasn't feeling well and I knew something was off. But we get back to the Airbnb and they're like, yeah, let's go to the beach. I'm like, nah, you guys go. And they're like, you're not going to come to the beach? I'm like, no. They're like, how can you not go? I'm like, because I'm staying here. I'm like, why is this hard to grasp? You know. But the point of that is other people will try to pull you away from your standards. And that's why I call it boundaries. And I'm like, here are my priorities. And I put the wall around the priority and make sure that nothing can penetrate that wall. So whatever it takes to motivate you to adhere to the things you need to adhere to, do that, call it that, again, there's no right or wrong. Whatever works for you, that is what it is, as long as you're safeguarding that thing that you really want to do. So, Dawn, give us some final words and let people know where they can find you.
Final words. Okay. I just wanted to tag on to what you just said. And like, okay. It's very cliche, but you cannot pour from an empty cup. And I've heard it. And it's true. So I have to remind myself of that. That helps me get through with the boundaries. And, you can find me at thesecretsofbeing.com and, or the desiretoinspirefoundation.org. Those are my two websites. And, just thank you for having me. And I always like to say, look, we can all be the change we wish to see in the world, every single situation, every single moment, by, you know, just being our best selves, being kind.
Yes. Nick, some final words, and where can people find you?
Man. When life is overwhelming and when the train wreck just seems to be blowing up all around you, just remember the explosion is worse than the carnage. It's a lot more noise and, you know, than what's around there. Take a moment to breathe. Prioritize. Every step you go forward is a step closer to getting out of the train wreck. And then you're also a step stronger at the train wreck for the next train wreck, because there's always going to be a next train wreck. Bingo. That said, man, thanks for having me, Don. It was great talking to you today. And I am available everywhere on the internet at Stride Motivation, STRIDE, Motivation. And also, since it's free, the book Through the Fire is going to be free for download on Amazon and Kindle on the 19th through the 23rd.
Nice. Awesome. And why are you doing that?
I wrote that book for me, but I published it for the person who needs to hear it. You know, there's a message in there. There's probably a couple messages in there. So about every like 4 or 5 months or so, I can run a free promotion where I can just run it for Amazon and whatever, and gets the word out there. And hopefully the person who needs to hear it finds it.
Awesome. And if you're new to this show, this show is very unscripted. It's like, we don't send talking points or anything. They didn't even know what the title was going to be until today. Because I like the conversations to be raw and organic and just very heartfelt. Like, I don't want people to come in here writing down stuff and having like pre-written speeches like the politicians do. Like, we don't want that. We want real conversations here, talking about real things, real emotions, and giving you real solutions. So for those of you who tuned in the whole way, and it looks like there were a good amount of you, I appreciate that. Feel free to share, throw a like on it. And for Dawn and Nick, thanks for taking the time. Enjoy your warm weather. Yeah, I'm still salty. And have yourselves a great day. And you guys are definitely going to see these two again. So, again, thanks, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Robert.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Oh, I totally failed. I'm not ready with the outro. There it is.
You've been listening to Shut Up and Grind. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this show. Robert has over 20 years experience pouring his knowledge and expertise at many events in the service and fitness industry, as well as secondary schools and universities. He has a true passion for helping others break through the barriers that are holding them back. To book Robert B. Foster to speak or to reach out, go to robertbfoster.com. Till next time, shut up and grind.